Bibles or not, please open them to John chapter 1. We're going to be spending a good majority of our time in the latter verses from which Max read just a few minutes ago. We do appreciate the presence of all. Encourage you to join in as we study tonight. From time to time, we discuss what we refer to as great Bible characters. If that still flickers, just raise your hand and I'll try something else. We study great Bible characters such as Paul or Peter or Moses or Mary, the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth. Figures that are pretty well known to most every Bible student. But all along the Bible gives us a glimpse of other great characters that may not be as widely known, but they're great characters and we should not overlook them. And here in the latter part of John chapter 1, Nathanael is one of those great characters. And he possessed characteristics that we need to develop in our lives. And that's what I want us to look at tonight, just to see three or four different characteristics that we are told concerning Nathanael that are characteristics that we should develop in our own lives. In our reading, we see that Philip had been around our Lord for a period of time, for at least a brief period of time, and he had had the opportunity to observe the Lord. And he says to Nathanael in verse 45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." One of the things that we see on the part of Nathanael is probably, first of all, some prejudice that he had. What good thing can come out of Nazareth? He raises the question. But Nathanael was not so blinded that he would not come and see, that he would not come and investigate. And that's the first quality of character that I want us to notice in Nathanael. That is, he had intellectual honesty. He demonstrated intellectual honesty. And that's a wonderful quality for a person to have in spite of prejudices. He was willing to investigate the points that he may not have understood, though he knew he had some prejudices. I want us to read from Matthew chapter 13. And here in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus contrasts two different types of people. He says in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Again, Jesus is contrasting two different types of people. On the one hand, here are people whose eyes are blinded. Their ears are deaf. Their heart is hardened. But then on the other hand, here are those whose eyes are opened. Their ears, they're listening. Their heart is a discerning heart. And Nathanael's eyes were open. His ears were listening. His heart was discerning. The question I think that each of us has to ask ourselves is, what kind of eyes and what kind of ears and what kind of heart do we have? And certainly we want to be among those whose eyes are open, whose ears are listening, and whose hearts are discerning. And I think it would be fair to say this. Most of us, I'm including myself, most of us have prejudices. That's not the question. The question is, what are we doing in relation to our prejudices? Are we willing to come and see, or are we blind? Are we willing to listen and hear, or are we deaf? Are we willing to open our hearts and discern, or do we close our hearts? Unfortunately, there are a lot of people whose eyes are closed, whose ears are deaf, whose hearts are not discerning. I'm thinking of a situation a number of years ago, probably 20 or 25 years ago, maybe longer than that. And I was asked to speak at a funeral service by the children of the lady who had died. She was not a Christian. And so I spoke, and I just simply read from the Word of God. And there were some ladies sitting on the back seat as I was reading from God's Word, and they were just doing this way. Now, I was just reading from the Word of God. I was reading what the Bible taught that a person needs to do to be saved. They were not at all interested in hearing. I remember hearing a brother talk about someone refusing to read an article in a bulletin that was sent out. The church where he worked, they sent bulletins out into the community. And he said he got a call one day, and it was a lady, and she was somewhat upset, and she said, "I do not want to receive that bulletin anymore." And he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry you feel that way, but if you'll give me your name and address, we'll take you off the mailing list." She said, "I will not." Some people just become irrational. Some people are unwilling to listen, to see, to look. And the question is, what kind of person are we? Nathanael had prejudices, but it says, Philip says to him, "Come and see." And then verse 47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. He came when he was asked. He came willingly. And as he came to Jesus, Jesus paid Nathanael a wonderful compliment. Let's read again verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." You know, when I read that statement, that would be a flattering statement no matter who made it. But that statement came from Jesus. That statement came from the Son of God. And as I read that and I think about that, that may be at least one of the greatest, if not the greatest, compliment in the entire Bible. Notice what Jesus said. First of all, he says, "An Israelite indeed." In other words, he saw in Nathanael that he wasn't just an Israelite by birth, but he was demonstrating those qualities of character that demonstrated, that would suggest in reality, who he was, a true descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It reminds me of John chapter 8, as Jesus has a confrontation with some Jews. Beginning with verse 32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Here, as Jesus is talking to these people who were descendants of Abraham, they were children of Abraham by birth, but he says to them, you're not children of Abraham indeed. Your actions demonstrate that really you're children of the devil. That was a pretty straightforward statement. It was a truthful statement, and it was one that they needed to hear. And you know, there's a lesson in that for us. Those of us who are Christians, those of us who are children of God, one day we obeyed the gospel. We put on Christ. But if we're not living as we should, though we have become children of God, we really are children of the devil. It's one thing to become a child of God, but it's an entirely different thing to show the qualities of character that demonstrate that truly we are a child of God. Nathanael was an Israelite indeed. Jesus goes on to say, not only did he say you're an Israelite indeed, he said, in whom is no guile. Guile is deceit. Guile is hypocrisy. It appears to be one thing, but it's something else. It's like, I don't know if fake furniture is the right, cheap furniture, maybe that's the right word. It's like cheap furniture. There's nothing wrong with cheap furniture, but you know, you look at it and you think, man, this looks great. You begin to examine it, and what it has a veneer. And you think, well, it's not quite what it appears to be. Someone who has guile, they may look good on the outside, but on the inside they are something totally different. And I want us to remember that it's our Lord who is doing the analyzing here. He says of Nathanael, you're an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And it's interesting to me that Nathanael, he did not protest what God said. He didn't say, oh, no, you misunderstand. That's really not who I am. He knew what Jesus was saying was exactly the truth. He was an Israelite indeed, in whom there was no guile. In fact, on the very basis that Jesus had correctly read his character, Nathanael says there in John chapter 1, verse 49, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And that brings us to a fourth quality that Nathanael had, and that is a high self-esteem. When Nathanael looked at himself, he knew that he was an Israelite indeed. He knew that he did not have guile in his life. And he could receive that without protest. A high self-esteem is a virtue. Now, I'm not talking about self-conceit. Self-conceit is an exaggerated opinion of one's qualities and abilities. That's not good. That is bad. But a high self-esteem built on the fact that I know I am doing the Lord's will. I know I'm being faithful. I know that every day I am seeking and I'm receiving the forgiveness of my sins. and that everything is well with my soul. That is a wonderful thing. And Nathanael had that quality. He had that high self-esteem. Others that we read of in the Bible had that same high self-esteem. Jesus. In John 8, verse 46, Jesus says, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" Jesus had nothing to hide. He had not done wrong. He had not sinned, unlike the rest of us. And he just flat out asked, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" Or I think about Paul and his statement in Acts chapter 23. Again, as he's recounting his conversion, Paul says in verse 1, "Looking earnestly at the council, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Now, Paul, his conscience had not been trained properly initially. He had done some things that were wrong. But you know, if we just started there, if we just would start first of all and make sure that everything we do in good conscience before God, and we continue to study and we train our conscience based on what the Word of God says, that's a high self-esteem. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, there's some things said about Samuel and some things that Samuel says as he was nearing the end of his judgeship. He was nearing his death. And he says there in 1 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, "Now Samuel said to all Israel, 'Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me and have made a king over you.'" Of course, that was Saul. "And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose oxen have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Isn't that a wonderful thing for Samuel to be able to say, and it be true? And I think if every politician could say that, if every preacher could say that, if every elder could say that, if every Christian could say that, nothing to hide. I also think about Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 26, he is warning Judah of impending punishment unless Judah repents. He says in verse 6, "Then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." And that really upset the people. They wanted to kill him. You drop down to verse 10. "When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, 'This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears.'" He deserves to die. Verse 12. "Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you.' As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Jeremiah simply is speaking the words of the Lord. They want to kill him, and what he says is, you do what you want to, but if you kill me, you understand you are shedding innocent blood. Not a guilt upon him. And so there is Nathanael. There is Jesus. There's Paul. There's Jeremiah. There's Samuel. All men of high self-esteem. They knew their own character and they were not afraid. And Nathanael was that kind of person. And Jesus could say to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael could receive that without protest and respond, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You know, you can have that too. You can have that same high self-esteem. Each of us can have that same high self-esteem. It's not built on perfection. It's not built on sinlessness. But it's built on the fact that we're genuine. We're real. We're serving God in truth. We are seeking and receiving the forgiveness of our sins. Can you imagine the joy of Nathanael looking in the mirror and saying, I am an Israelite indeed. There is no guile to be found in my life. And to know that it's true, what a wonderful, wonderful joy that must have brought to him. To know that he was doing right. And we can have that same joy as we serve the Lord faithfully. Now, those are great qualities that Nathanael had. And what I want to do is to pull it all together. He maintained those qualities in an environment that was very, very wicked. He lived in the first century. He lived under Roman rule. The Jews were spiritually blind. Many were hypocritical in their lives. They were self-righteous in their thinking. That was the environment in which Nathanael lived. And yet Nathanael was able to lift himself above that environment to be the kind of man that God wanted him to be. He demonstrated intellectual honesty. He was an Israelite indeed in whom was no guile. And he had a high self-esteem. We live in a similar environment. In 2018. Religious prejudice just everywhere. People who are spiritually blind. People who refuse to see. People who refuse to hear. There's hypocrisy all around. Sin is prevalent just like it's been prevalent since the beginning of mankind. And when we look at our environment and we think about the environment in which we live, we can do one of two things. One is, we can make excuses about how hard it is, how hard the time is in which we live. As parents, we can make excuses for our children on the basis of the environment in which they live. And make those excuses and then die and be lost eternally. Because that's all they will be excuses. Or we can lift ourselves above the environment in which we live and be what God wants us to be. When we stand before God in the judgment, if we somehow think we can offer excuses to God and we can tell Him about how hard the times were in which we lived, how rampant drugs were, alcohol was, divorce was, TV just filthy, can't hardly pick up a magazine or a book without it just being filth. If we think somehow we can offer that excuse or those excuses to God, there will be people like Nathaniel rising up in judgment of this generation and of other generations that have been wicked throughout history. I think about Noah. You just think about the kind of environment in which he lived. And Noah was able to lift himself above with God's help and to serve God faithfully. And that'll be true of everyone who is saved. Because what we have to do is to save ourselves from this wicked, untoward, perverse generation. And that's applicable to every generation that has ever lived. And with God's help, we can do that. And so as we think about Nathaniel and as we read about Nathaniel, hopefully we can see in him those wonderful qualities of character that enabled him to be the kind of man that God wanted him to be. May God help us as we serve him, to be faithful to him. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. It'll be on the screen behind us. If there is anyone tonight present who, in a public way, needs to render obedience to the Lord's call, then we encourage you to do that as we stand.